chapter 4. I'm not a really big fan of putting the scriptures on a handout, not opening our Bibles. I like to open our Bibles, but I do have some of the scriptures on here. So open Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read through Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And that last part of verse 13, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," is really the theme behind these next several weeks. How do we measure up? We looked at Acts chapter 2 last Wednesday, the end of the chapter, where it talked about coming together in fellowship and the salvation of the believers, the assembling together. Tonight, we want to look at and think about how do we measure up with regards to love and loving one another and loving a lost and dying world. And so that last part of chapter, or verse 13 again, there it is, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do we measure up as a church? How do we measure up as individuals with regards to loving one another? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study tonight. Please guide and direct us in a very real and personal and powerful way into a closer relationship with you. Help us to examine ourselves in the faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, throughout the ages of Christianity, Christians have always used some different symbols to express their faith. For instance, many people, they have a cross that they wear around their neck, or they wear lapel pins. In our time, we've even had Christians that have had bumper stickers on their car. And you can, maybe once a year, I'll get a call from a company called Witness Wear, and they want to sell T-shirts that have either verses on them or something on them that is Christian in nature. So all different types of symbols, all different types of things that people do to declare their faith, if you will. Whether it's something that they wear or jewelry that they might wear. But the reality is that Jesus gave us a symbol that's far more powerful than a cross around your neck, than a shirt with a verse on it. Nothing wrong with these things, per se. But the symbol that he gave us is that we love one another. That we love one another. In the text that we read, look at again in verses 1 and 2. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, in lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering." And then, won't you read these next five words out loud with me, please? Let's begin. "Forbearing one another in love." That's the real symbol of Christianity, that we love one another. We find it all through, by the way, the book of Ephesians, as Paul writes to this church here. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verses 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he brings up the subject again. Look at chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I always like that verse. A sweet smelling savor. Almost as if in the nostrils of God, the smell of believers' love one towards another. Because that's what the verse, that's what that little phrase is. It's a savor, it's a smell, it's an aroma of love. Yes. When they would offer up the offerings and the aromas of the offerings. The sweet savor unto the Lord. Absolutely, Jim, you're right. So the mark of a true Christian is the mark of love. You know, in chapter 13, you don't need to turn there, 1 Corinthians is the great love chapter. But in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. Does anybody know how the rest of that verse ends? Good, very good. But the greatest of these is charity. Someone wrote this quote, and I wrote this quote down. They said this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, that's from Scripture, we know that. And without it, we cannot partake of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Without hope, we cannot endure or bear up under the afflictions and difficulties of life. But charity or love is greater. Love is the fulfilling of the law. But this is never said of faith and or hope. That's why it says the greatest of these is love. Take your Bibles quickly as we're going to go to a couple of other portions of Scripture. Go to Romans chapter number 13. Paul brings this up to the Church of Rome. Romans chapter 13. By the way, if you've never read Francis Schaeffer's book, The Mark of a Christian, it's not a long book, it's an excellent book, and that's the entire topic of the book is God's love on the believer. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, owe no man anything, but to love one another. Okay, that's if we have a debt, our debt is it's to love one another. For he that loveth another fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So you understand that if you have the attitude of love and that you love one another and you care for one another, then that in and of itself, you're not going to break the law of God. And Paul reminds us of that. So on your handout, you notice this. I just have two blanks for you to fill in. But someone said, the church is to be a loving church in a dying culture. It probably has occurred to you that our culture is dying. Every culture dies. And it could be that the Lord will bring a great revival to our culture at some point. But sooner or later, that revival will wear off and the culture will continue to die. I pray that God will bring a revival to our nation, a revival to our churches, revival to our families, and I pray that God will do that before the Lord's return. But our culture is dying, and you and I were to be the salt of the earth, we're to be the light in a very dark world, but our culture is dying. That's just the nature of every culture. But in that culture, you and I, the church, we're to display the love of Christ in our lives. So I want to, we're going to turn in a minute, you don't have to because I have these scriptures on your handout, but we're going to look at John chapter 13 and talk about some things, John chapter 13, 34, and 35. But if you want to fill in the two blanks right now, I'll tell you what they are. The quantity of our love, if you'll write it that in there, the quantity of our love, and then the quality of our love. What is the quantity of our love, and what is the quality of our love? Because love is the mark of true believers. And I think you'll find this interesting. And remember, the whole idea is, how do we measure up? How do we measure up? Do we love one another? Do we care for one another? How do we measure up? And it's interesting because Jesus gives permission for you and I to be judged by lost people based upon the quantity of our love and the quality of our love. He gives permission for you and I to be judged by that. So if you've turned there or you just want to look on your handout, John chapter number 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Now look at verse 35. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." So how will they know that we are the disciples of Christ? It's how we love one another. It's how we love the world in which we live. Ethan was bringing this up a little bit in, I forget, it was either Sunday school or the morning worship service this past Sunday. But how do we love one another? How do we care for people? I saw not too long ago, someone posted this. They're a believer. They said, in regard to Muslims in the United States, that they all ought to go back to their own country. That is not really the attitude of love that we want to have. Listen, I believe with all my heart, with all that's going on and people coming into our country and the whole thing about the border, I don't really want to get into all that and building a wall and all of that, and I believe in illegal immigration. But I also believe this, that God is giving the church in the United States of America an excellent opportunity for the mission field to come to the United States and for people to be witnessed to. And I think as Christians, we ought to be more concerned about sharing the gospel with people who are entering into the country and the opportunities that we have. And it seems sometimes, I think, as Christians, we put more energy into wanting to build a wall and keep people out rather than taking the gospel to people and praying for them and seeing them come to know Christ as their Savior. Didn't get many amens off of that, but I think that we're so concerned. Listen, people are coming here. Let's witness to them. Let's share the gospel with them. And just a thought. Might be controversial, but it's just a thought, you know? Anyhow, let's move on. The quantity of our... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand. You got to put it up a little bit higher. Yes. No, I don't support illegal immigration. I support legal immigration and all that. I didn't want to get into all of that. The point I'm trying to make is there are people coming to this country that we could be sharing the gospel with. And one of the reasons that just in the last 15 years, there are many independent Baptists, for instance, starting churches in cities. We didn't see that. In the first 20 years that I was involved in ministry, you didn't see a lot of new churches starting in Boston and New York and Philadelphia. And now, which I think is a really great thing, we see some of our missionaries are coming home from the mission field, some of them because they're aging. But like, for instance, I'll give you an example. The Stevens are in Philadelphia ministering to a very large Cambodian population. and sharing the gospel with them. And they have the tools to do that. Our missionary, another missionary of ours that we support in Philadelphia, he is ministering to the Islamic population in Philadelphia. The towns are doing that. And so that's because they love those people and care for those people. But what's the quantity of our love? Well, the Bible says in these verses, in the directive, by the way, in the New Testament, there are 55 directives in the New Testament to love one another. 55 times the Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of men to repeat that. So I think if the Lord tells us 55 directives in the New Testament to love one another, then we ought to pay attention to that. On your handout, I have Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 through 44. Jesus said this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Well, that's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? But that is the quantity of our love. The quantity, as I was putting this Bible study together, I was reminded of Louis, I think it was Zapparini. The book Unbroken was written about him. He was a prisoner of war, World War II, and he was mercilessly beaten by the Japanese, and they could not break him. And he just hated them. He hated the Japanese. Well, he came to know the Lord as his Savior and ended up going back to Japan and witnessing to the Japanese people and establishing churches in Japan. That's because God changed his heart. He learned to love the people that he had hated. These were people who were brutal to him. But what is the quantity of our love? 55 directives. 55 directives that we love. In verse 35, "By this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples." And then he reminds us here that we love there one another, that you love one another. In fact, in the New Testament, there are 55 directives specifically that tell us that we are to love one another, even our enemies. 5 times in the Gospels, 10 times in the Epistles, we are told to love, or 10 times it's been directed to the local church to love one another. If you're in the Gospel of John, go to chapter 15 and look at verses 12 and verse 17. John 15, 12. "This is my commandment." Here's just one of the examples of these directives. "That ye love one another as I have loved you." In verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So what is the quantity of your love? Do you love, and can you love beyond your little vision? That people who don't look like you or talk like you or speak like you or have the same customs, can you love them, people who come from different countries? You know, the reality is, if you go back far enough, we've all come from different countries. But are we sharing the gospel with people? Are we emphasizing that? 1 Corinthians 13, 13, which I already quoted, said, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these," as many of you knew the end of that verse, "is charity." But now let me give you the next part of that quiz. And I wouldn't have known this except that I wrote it down. So do you know what chapter 14 and verse 1 says? So let me say this again. Chapter 13 says this, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Then 1 Corinthians 14, 1. It says this, "Follow after charity." That phrase there, "follow after charity," it means to pursue it, to earnestly desire it, to strive to possess it with zeal and vigor and courage and patience, to literally chase it down, to love one another, put our all into it. I remember several years ago, quite a few years ago now, we would go pretty regularly to a sportsman's banquet down in Northampton. And I remember one of the speakers, he was a deer hunter, and I thought he was really interesting. This guy, he went above and beyond. This guy would track deer. He would stay out sometimes for 2 days tracking a deer. And, you hunt and it's cold, it's snowy. And he would take a backpack, and he would track deer for a day to 2 days to catch up with the deer. And he was just relentless in his pursuit. And whenever I think of follow after charity and to vigorously chase it down, I think of that guy, two days out in the woods, staying all night, trying to keep up with the. That was for a deer. But we're supposed to do that with people. That's the mark of a Christian. That's the mark of a Christian. The quantity of our love. Just how much do we love people? Jesus says, well, measure yourself. Measure your stature with regards to that. You know, it's so easy to just kind of step back and find fault with different people. And then even within the church. Then the second point was the quality. What kind of quality? Well, what does it say in these couple of verses? Go back to chapter 13 again, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I've given you, that you love one another. Jesus said this, as I have loved you. He wants us to love people the same way that he loved us. Aren't you glad that Jesus loved you? Amen? Amen. Amen. With all of our problems, I'm talking about individually, all of our sin, all of our bad habits, all of our idiosyncrasies, Jesus loves us. He loves us. And how does he love us? Well, he loves us. Does he love us conditionally or unconditionally? Yeah, unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, this is on your handout. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If you love people who have everything in common with you or that you like, there's no big deal to that. It doesn't take much effort. But we're to love the unlovely. He loves us unconditionally. And we're to love people unconditionally as well. It's not always easy to do. You need the Lord's help to do that. Amen? But we need to love people unconditionally. That's the quality of our love. And Jesus gave permission to the world to say, well, you say that you're a believer, but do you love people unconditionally? That's how we're to be measured. Ethan mentioned this about the church that my daughter goes to down in North Carolina. He said that Talitha shared this with him, that the pastor of the church is not the greatest of speakers, but you can tell that he loves the church and the church loves him. And so that's what draws them there. I had a dear friend who pastored up in northern Vermont for years. He was the driest preacher I ever heard. He would preach, he'd go to a fellowship meeting, and he would preach, and he was dry, dry, dry. But he loved the people. And he cared about people. He cared about souls. And now he pastors down in Florida, and same thing. Just loves the people. Just loves them. Loves them unconditionally. Quality of our love. And so not only does he love us unconditionally, but we're reminded here when Jesus said, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Well, he doesn't only love us unconditionally, he loved us sacrificially. He gave his life for us. He gave his life. What are we willing to do for others and to help others and to sacrifice for others? Remember, we were there in John chapter 15 just a minute ago where it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. and ye are my friends, he said. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's what it really means to have Christ living in and through us. So we're reminded of that. What's the quantity of our love? And what's the quality of our love? How broad is the scope of our love? And how broad is the quantity, or excuse me, the quality of our love? Is it the kind of love that Jesus talks about in his word here? You have to measure yourself by that, because the world will measure you by that. Your co-workers will measure you by that. Children will measure you by that. They'll see that. That's the mark of a true disciple. Now, aren't you glad, though, that the standard for salvation is not whether or not we love one another to the full extent? If the standard for our salvation was whether we love one another to the full extent, then we'd all be lost. We would all be lost. We would fail. And when we do fail to love one another the way that we're instructed, then we need to seek God's forgiveness. You can't just throw up your hands and just, oh, I'm just going to give up. And it's so important that we understand this, because that's what will keep unity in a body of believers. We love one another unconditionally. When we love one another sacrificially, that's what will keep unity in believers. Go back to Ephesians and then I'll be done. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So again, in verses 1 and 2, we saw the importance there. In verse 3, where it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's all tied together. It's all with regards to love. And then we saw a little bit later on in that chapter, look at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then it goes on, look at verse 16, it says this, and speaking now of the local church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Ooh, well, that's kind of a mouthful there, isn't it? Amen? But it's really talking about that all the different members, just as I'm standing before you here in a body, a hand, an arm, two hands, two arms, legs, feet. That's what makes up the body. Well, the church is the body. And learning to love one another keeps it all together, keeps it from coming apart. And that's so important here. And verse 17 said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, and having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So it's you and I, as we endeavor to walk with the Lord and to let His love live in and through us, that we would love unconditionally, that we would love sacrificially, that people would see that love in us, that we would care about people, that we would care about people who we don't normally care about. That's the true mark of a Christian. So the challenge is, how do you measure up? How do you measure up? And that's between you and the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we ask now that you'd bless our prayer time, that we'd go before you, Lord, and you would just answer each of these requests as you see fit. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity that you give us to pray. Help our prayer and our requests be an act of love towards those that we pray for. In Jesus' name, amen.